That is Daf Chav Tet. And we'll go from the Gemara again on Chav Chet Amud Bet just to like just to fix up a few things. It says we're trying to do the drasha, understand what is covered by damages caused by fire. So the first the fact that the Torah mentions Gdish, Kamas, Sadeh, Kotzim, all these things are ribuyim, if you remember. That's how we ended the shir. So the Gemara says, Ma Kotzim Yuchadim Shadarkan Lidalek. Now Darkan Lidalek, I didn't explain it so well last time. Like in last year, what Mar Fulda says, Darkan Lidalek means meaning their purpose, if you like, what people use them for primarily is for burning. So that might be anything chayov. So what about other things? So only things that are really like firewood and things like that. Tamalo Magadish, no, even a stack. So when it comes to a stack that's already cut, that's your chayef. Maybe it's only things to cut from the ground. Therefore, tamalo makama, those things that are even growing from the ground. Okay. Or maybe those things, only things that if you like burn, we said flammable, but burn. So what about other things like lichani ros, safar avanav, where it's sort of blackened stones or scorched the ground? These things actually don't burn. We say they just char or the like. Minayin tamaloma or sadeh. So the Gemara now says, after all these ribuim, let's work back a bit. This is what we got up to. Vayomer kotzim kama and sadeh. Why do we need Gedish? Why do we need a stack? Because if you remember, Gedish was, if you like, the first or the second ribui after well, it's really first ribui, that it says only those things that are so even things that aren't, say, firewood. But then we said later on that Sadeh would include those things as well, meaning anything the field that's on the field that is Darkan, as we just said. Which before we had to need a ribuy to include wood, those things that are like those things that are flammable and burn. So why do we need now that Girsa just changed our change? So there, why do we need Gedish? So the Gemara says, Adat Rav Yehuda Nicha. Why? Da Amar Meshalem Kol Ma Shebetocha. In other words, I need the Gedish as a separate ribuy, which is to teach that if a stack is burnt, and from the outside, really it just looks like a stack of wheat. And inside there were some valuables that were hidden inside of the tamun, according to Rav Yehuda, you pay for that. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that makes a lot of sense. The Gdish is an extra ribui to say that not just the Gdish, but all the contents of the Gdish as well. However, al dat unto Rabbana, according to Chachamim, da amra eino meshama ela Gdish chitim v'Gdish sarim. No, only things that, if you like, look at the volume and treat as wheat or barley, whatever it is, then le'ezu davar ne'mar sadeh. So le'ezu davar ne'mar Gdish. Why do we need Gdish as well? Now, according to the reading of Gemara, it sounds like at this stage, this question's not answered. We will see when we get to Amud Bet, the Gemara Fulda says, we're going to answer this question effectively later on. So just hold on to your seat and we'll see it soon. Next. Avra geder shegavo arba amot o derech rabbi o nar patur. We're talking about the fact if this fire ends up passing over some sort of fence or just a rabim in a such a way, there's like, onus is not chayiv for the damage that the fire spread beyond that point. However, Amar Rabba, that's bekodachati matnita. That's only talking about a fire. Kodachat, Marafulda says, is lashon eshkadcha, meaning koloma sheboeret volechet me'atzma. It's simply moving, spreading naturally, if you like. Ve'enu kofetzet al yedei ruach. Meaning, there's not like a strong wind that's making it jump and flip, as fire does. That's how they can, that's why bushfires and the like, or wildfires, if you want to call it, can sort of jump roads where there's nothing for it to burn on. In that situation, in other words, when you patur, if it seems to cross a road or cross a fence, that's when it's a naturally burning fire and it seems to just move gradually. However, mekatefet, if it's jumping, then divrei akol chayav. We have the gears of divrei akol, but the difficulty is it doesn't seem to be a machloket yet. Machloket is in the next mission. That's what Ma'ar Fulda says, you shouldn't really say divrei akol, according to. However, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, but mekatefet imatnita. The whole Mishnah, when it says your patur if it breaches a fence or a large road and things, that's when the fire is a jumping fire. Aval b'kodach, if it's spreading normally, then even a small barrier should have been sufficient to stop it from passing, if you like. And if it does, it'd be patur. So it's a machlokah in terms of when do we say it's ones, when do we say it's like normal. So with that, we need to do a bit more work with the next Mishnah. Hamadlik b'toch shelo ad kama tavor ad leka. In other words, if you light in your own property, how much of a gap is considered, let's say, responsible caution? such that if it's ends up spreading, you're not chayev. Okay, and what's considered negligent in the way you're looking after your fire? So how much space would one need to leave? So Madlik betoch shelo kamad kavatavor adleika. Rabbi Lezer says, ruin otzo ki iluhi ba'emtza beit kor. In other words, you need it in the middle of a whole beit kor, which is a massive area. Rabbi Lezer says, no sheshet re'amah kederech harabim, which sort of ties into the previous Mishnah that just a rushos harabim distance is enough, which is 16 amot. Rabbi Akiva says, chamishim amah, you need 50 amah, and however Rabbi Shimon says, no shalei mishel amah ve'etavira. What's the double lashon there? Hakol l'fi adleika. I mean, it depends on the type of fire that is lit. In terms of how much distance you need to leave, it's not like a standard measure. You can have big fires that can you need a much bigger area, like for example these big lug ba'omer fires versus a small barbecue. It really depends. Okay, Nemara says, "Hamadlik b'toch shelo." So Tani Maise she'avrad leika et yarden shaita kasha. So this is really Mefarshim to me to explain that it's coming to support Shnei Rabbi Shimon on something out of a fire that will really be able to spread over across a very large gap. Which is, for example, the Yarden. Well, presuming that it's a part of the Yarden, which is very, you know, wide. Okay, fine. Now the Gemara now says, "Ad kama tavor adleika." So once again, Rabbi Leizer says, "Shesarama keder charabim." However, b'shat aruach, if it's a windy day, then shloshima. So he, if you like, well, nearly doubles it. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ushishlimama it's 30 b'shat aruach it's 50 mama it's 50." Rebbe Yaakov says, sorry, Rebbe Akiva says it's normally 50 amma. If it's a windy day, b'shat haruach, then it's 100 amma. And it says, it was ma'ase ba'arav shekafatza or yotel mishlosh amat amma. We have a situation, unfortunately, where the fire ended up spreading, jumping, if you like, and going to another 300 amot away. Okay? Could say, imagine embers flying away, I presumably, or something like that. Now the Gemara says, eimad tai bezman shekafatz. In other words, when do we have this shiurim? That's when the fire, if you like, jumps. That's when you have these shiurim. Aval imayu eitzim mitzuyin lefanav. If, however, it's a naturally spreading fire and on its path there was kindling or small wood of which it could spread, or shemesafsefo holech simladia, afilu an milchayav. The person is responsible for the damages caused because there's no point where you can say, oh, it's honest now. Meaning, if a fire is burning naturally, in other words, a simple example, when you make a fire at a campsite, you've got to make sure the area around it is clear of any foliage or any dry leaves or dry twigs and things like that. Otherwise, it can likely spread. So, if the area is cleared and it makes a big jump somehow, then you can maybe say honest. But if you didn't clear the area and this fire is spreading, then it doesn't make a difference, even though it goes a mil, a kilometer behind for anything that spreads, which makes a lot of sense. Now, Avra Nar or Shlulit Rachavim Shmona Amot, if it ends up passing, again, this is like a body of water, if it's 8 Amot, then it would be, again, that's another considered a jump, if you like, that would be too big. So to be considered, to mechayev the person. Okay. Now the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, this is Halacha Zayin. Hamadliket Agdish V'Gubo Kelim. This relates to the debate we made reference to just above when he first started the Daf. And that is, if someone lights a stack, some his friend's stack of say wheat or something, and inside it there were some vessels, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to pay everything that's included in it. We said according to Rabbi Yehuda that is learnt from the special or sad the gedish, the extra ribuy of gedish. Chachamim says einu mashim ela gedish shel chitim or gedish shel sorim. No, we just look at the volume and treat that space that was contained those expensive items as if they were wheat and barley, and that's all he has to pay. Now, haya gdi kaputlo va'av eved samuchlo. This relates to a sugi we saw previously, or this is the Mishnah that we referenced earlier, which is if there's a small kid next to it, as in a goat, and there was an eved that was near it, but the kid was tied and the eved could have walked away, but nisrafi mo, and unfortunately the eved ended up dying. I mean, eved could have got away, and then we say that he is chayav, meaning chayav on the damage, financial component. However, the eved had no way of getting away. And it was, for example, tied up. Eved kaputlo v'gdisa muchlo. Then v'nisraf imo, and in the end, the eved was killed as a result. In that situation, the person with the fire is mitchayev benafsho, meaning he committed a capital offense. And we've said previously that kimle bedarabe minei, meaning when someone's chayev a capital offense, we say that's a harsher of the two punishments, and you're parted from the mammon component. Okay. Now, this is even, just if you remember from other learning, Ketubot and the like, that this is even if he didn't get a hatra. Meaning, if the offense involves something, it's a capital offense, or capital that would involve a capital punishment, even if you can't administer that punishment, it still be patur from the monetary component. Interesting. Okay. Everyone says, Umorim Chachamim Rabbi Chachamim agree with Rabbi Huda that Madlik Dabira, if a building, for example, a house was burnt, Shumashalam, then in that situation, you'd say, oh, look, the whole house if it's full of wheat. No, everything inside it, Kol Masha B'tocho, everyone, you have to pay for everything inside it, Shderach B'nam, that, or that is the way of people, let's talk about, to leave such items in their house. Now, this is important. We'll get to this last statement. The Gemara is going to be in daik on it soon. So, this first part of the Gemara we're going to see, we saw or we touched on it in Masechta Peah. However, it looks like here the directions will go slightly different. So, it starts the same, it goes different. So, Rabbi Val says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Morim Chachamim B'Yehuda, B'chol Goren, sorry, Goren, Shadarkan Latmin. The Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda that if the clay goren, meaning the utensils that used at the threshing floor, were hidden in that stack, or in that stack, they'd be chayv. Why? Shedarkan. So, in other words, what we're learning here, according to Chachamim, it's not that there's a special, if you like, ptur of, let's call it a ptur of tamun. But it seems to be that no, it's only those, they're only cholek on those items. This will come much clearer soon. That people don't usually put in such stacks of wheat. So, you know, so they're only potter on those items, but they're chayev on the items that people would put in that stack. For example, the utensils for they use for threshing. So according to Chachamim, the stack burns down and there was hidden inside it. Well, darkan nachmin, that's why people to put those like cases. Just like important, like we learned in the Sefer, that if it burns a house down, you chayev them the things that people put in the house. Now, the Gemara says, Machlafa shittatei de Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this is relates to the Machloka Chachamim Yehuda in Masechta Peah, whether you have to leave Peah from those items that are tamun, tamun meaning buried in the ground, onions, things like that. So there, Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to Shichacha, not, I, sorry, I didn't mean Peah, I meant Shichacha, sorry. There, when it comes to Shichacha, he says it says, oh, Hu Amer Prat La Tamun, that Shichacha doesn't apply to those things that are buried in the ground. Whereas we just said, when it comes to Esh, he says, Vahachomer, when you said Gdish, both of them say Gdish, by the way. So the one is to Merabe, and one is to Mamai. It seems to be a contradiction. The Gemara says, Velate, the Gemara says, no, not no, Gdish, Sadeh, sorry. So, Velate Rebbe Yehuda Darish Hacha, Loyamar Ella Sadeh, Le'ezamar Nigdish, Kol Masha B'tocho. So the simple understanding is, well, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda normally would say when it says sadeh, it means anything that's what's called galui, anything that's open. And therefore, in shichacha, when it comes to things that are buried in the ground, well, it's not galui, so shichacha doesn't apply to it. Why in this case, when it comes to esh, even the tamun you're chayav for? Oh, like we said in the very beginning, because of the ribui of gdish. So there's no inconsistency. There's just a special ribui in this case. That's to deal with Shir Rabbi Yehuda. But Chachamim also you've got a problem with Chachamim. It says Machlafa Shitat Rabbanan, also Shir Rabbanan seems to be a contradiction. Tamanam Rim Lerabot Tamun Prat Tamun. So again, when it comes to Sadeh, it sounds like in the case of Shichacha, it would include even those things inside the Sadeh, even those things that, if you like, buried. So Shichacha applies to onions and things like that. However, in this situation, it seems to be that it doesn't include those things that are tamun. You're patur from those tamun. So Gemara says, now interestingly here, the Pnei Moshe points out, I'll just compare the Pnei Moshe muffled because Pnei Moshe makes it a bit like what we saw in, I think, in Peah. It says that Chachamim in Peah have a different ribui. It says, Baram Hacha Gabish, it is the middle of Yerumach Machlav Shidirabana. Baram Hacha Gabish Shichacha, meaning well, there, Hatam Rishicha, Sadcha Begalui Prat LaTamun. However, Ktzircha is Begalui and Prat LaTamun. So, since you've got two Mi'utim, you've got Sadeh, which that excludes Tamun, you've got Ktzircha, your harvest, which is also excludes Tamun. That you've got a special meal that therefore includes in the Tamun. So let's just go back a step. According to the Pnei Moshe's reading the Sugya, there's really no machlok up to Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim regarding the semantic of Sadeh. Sadeh means something that is revealed. Okay, Come to shichacha. It says if shachta omer basada, you leave it in your field. Well, then it means only things that are revealed. Therefore, shichacha doesn't apply to things buried in the ground. In our case, however, we've got a special pasuk that says gadish. So when it comes to the compensation for damage of fire, that's different. You can that you've got a special ribui that even tamun. Chachamim, however, also everyone again, based understanding, sadecha means galui. So therefore, when it comes to esh, right, the compensation for fire, well, it doesn't include those things that are tamun. Ah, what about shichah? Why does it include it? Because you've got a double miut. And a miut achar miut, because the extra miut of ksircha is teaches you that tamun applies. So it seems to be that it's makot bnei Moshe. It's a whole really the machloket Rabbi Huna Chachamim in both situations is how to drush the pasuk. However, I'll just show you the Mar Fulda here. When it says shadar kan taman amrin larabot, oh, one second, it says here. It says darkan litmen masha inken shadvarim. One second, I missed that. Wait. Here, I'll show you the continuation. It says, "Lo ken amar Rabbi Avahu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, modim chachamim l'Rabbi Yehuda b'klei gorin shadarkan litmon or litamen." So here, I'll show you the pnimah for this. It says, "Masha engin shaladim shkim to endarkan litman be'gdish lo rabbi na lo migdish." So, in other words, what we're saying now is that according to Marfulda, Chachamim agree with the ribui, if you like, in our case of with Rabbi Yehuda. So if you remember when we started the daf, we had a question that why do I need the ribui of Kiddush? Rabbi Yehuda makes sense because it includes it's Mechayev, also those things that are Tamun. But Chachamim were left with a question. Now we're saying here's the answer. As Marfulda says, "Lefiz en nami lo kai mekusha alibed de rabanan." We've got the answer right now. So what's his answer? His answer is Gedish is a ribui to include even those things that are tamun. But what things that are tamun? Only those things that are, you know, darkanli or tamun. Only those things that are fit to be stored away. So that explains, if you like, beautifully the Sefer. And there's no contradiction in the Chachamim. The Reisha, the Chachamim said in the Mishnah that says you're pater from tamun. But the Sefer says, firstly, that which is in the house, and that which we started the Gemara, sorry, as well, Rabbi Abbas and Rabbi Yochanan, Chachamim, Bekli Goren Shadar Kan Lamin. But one second, if there's a whole meal completely, if you understand Sadeh on its own, to mean that it's never, you're never Chayv the Tamun, then who cares if it's a right way or not right way to be inside? You're pater from anything that's Tamun. But now we're saying no, according to Marfulda beautifully. He agrees with the same drush as Rabbi Yehuda. The Gedish also includes those things Tamun, but not everything that is Tamun. That's the point of Machloket. Only the things that are Ra'uila Tamun, that's what you're chayef for. And that explains everything nicely. Okay. The Gemara says, Amrei Roshaya, and it fits nicely, that's B'she'ein Eidim, Avam Imyesh Eidim, Kol Amma Model Had Rabbi Yehuda. And this follows very nicely. When do we say the Chachamim say only those things that are ra'ui liot tamun? That you're, if you like, that's when you'd be chayv in the case of compensation for esh. But those that are not, that's only when there's no edim to certify it. However, if there are edim that come along and say, yes, this person hid away his very expensive, whatever it was, or he wanted to hide from the tax man his very expensive car and he put it on an empty stack, well, then, and the witnesses that he did that, then he'd be according to Chachamim, would even be chay for that. So it sounds like it might not necessarily be in the drush from the pasuk at this stage. If we go to the next statement of Rabbi Shaya, that it's not just that there's a ribu on the pasuk with only those things that are meant to be hidden. It's an issue of ne'amanut, meaning Chachamim would mechay for everything inside. But it sounds like this stage that you just need to have witnesses to. In other words, if it's something that darkan litamen, you don't even need witnesses for that. Yeah, fine. People hide these things, but if things are not darkan, then you would need witnesses. And if you have witnesses, you'd be chayv. Okay, if the nizak has witnesses, then the mazik would be chayv to pay for that damage. Okay, fine. Okay, yeah, fair. Now, detani ken. Let's say I've got a stack of wheat that was covered with se'orim, with barley. Now that's strange. Or a stack of barley that's covered with wheat. In that situation, when what that which was, if the we're talking about the part that was hidden, what do you mechayev the paper? What do you treat it as? Well, in the case, well, se'orim. But why in the case of if it was chitin inside you pay se'orim? Because again, it's not the normal way for people to cover over their stack of barley with wheat. Okay, that's why. Kadachad barnash, we have a similar situation. He entrusted in his friend a sack that was sealed. And some onus happened to it, and now the person who was looking after this sack had to pay compensation. Ahen amar sigin have. One person said it was sigin. Sigin is just like pieces of metal. Psolet kesef. Okay? And it's not really like chunks of metal. It's something that's not worth very much. That's understanding according to Mar Fulda. Ve'enamar actually metaxin. It was actually fine silk. So at of the kaved the Rav. Amar harei ze nishba v'notel. The owner who was trying to get compensation here simply makes a shvu and he can take it because this is something that even though it was inside the bag, something that if you like is ra'ulat min in such a bag, and therefore that's why he can get compensation. Now the Gemara says, what happens? Rabbi Yochanan says, by maushiat enu lo davar she'en ra'ulo. What if this person seems to be not, I don't know, not very very wealthy, and he's claiming inside the bag he left, you know, 100,000 shekel or something. And this guy doesn't have that much. He's minimum wage. He's got no savings. He's in debt to a lot of people, and like it seems ridiculous. Well, mashukas. So do we still say nishba v'notel? So Gemara says, look at this case. Nishma min hada. The arisi de barziza, the aris sharecropper of barziza, afkid gabei chad barnash. He entrusted with an individual litra zahav, quite a substantial sum of gold. Mit Barziza, then he passed away. Or mit Arisa as well, the Barziza. So Barziza, who is the employer, and the Arisa Barziza both died. And we don't know really who this litra of Zahav belongs to. At the Uvda Kamer Babishmal Brabiosi, Amar Man Hu de Loyada, the call, like who doesn't know? The call my de Ilarisa, the Barziza. The Barziza, you know, anything this Arisa has, his employer has, really, you know, it belongs to Barziza himself. I mean, this gold clearly had to come from him, and he was probably just doing an errand for Barziza when he trusted. So yatevon lebnoye de Barziza. Well, again, because the Aris, the sharecropper, wasn't very doesn't didn't appear to be a very wealthy person that he could have such gold. So it makes a lot of and he's again he worked for Barziza. So let's give it to the Yorshim of Barziza. Okay, havel Barziza. Barziza actually had banim rather than banan dikin. He had old kids and he had young children as well. Ktanim. So Amar, so he said, okay, let's do it this way. Yisvun Rav Ravaya Palga. So half should go to the Gdolim that could look after this. However, the Kadrabu, the Kikab, the Ktanim, leave it in the care of this individual. And when they get older, Yisvun Palga, they can take the other half. Fine. Damach Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, who paskin for them. And Ata Uvda, the case now came before Rabbi Chia. The Gemara says, it's Rabbi Chia. Amar, he says, in. Min hada leit shma min aklum. If you're just looking at the fact that the Arisa doesn't appear to be such a wealthy man, you haven't learned anything. Why? If barnash de lo bayim afarse nafshe, there are many people that simply don't want to flaunt their wealth. I remember when I was walking in the city with someone in Melbourne one time, and I was walking with someone for who these matters is very important, and towards us was an older gentleman. In the end, I got to know who he was eventually. He was a very important person in the community, but he just looked like an old guy walking down the street, nothing very exceptional. And he was a Holocaust survivor. And whereas on like by him were these like, you know, guys walking in these fancy suits and everything and like strutting and the thing. And my friend, the person I was with that said to me, this guy, this old person, he owns like five or six buildings in the city. Right, so you know, some people, if they might not appear to be so wealthy, they don't necessarily flaunt it, but they can be very, very wealthy. So why are you drawing any conclusions in this case that the gold can't have belonged to the Arisa Bar Caesar? So the Gemara says. So therefore,
So therefore, Ibranacha give it to the Arisa's children. Amarle Mare de Pictona, the person who's entrusted with this ink, Fari, I've already given away half. So Amarle, Tata Alpi Beitin. Whatever you get Beitin is Alpi Beitin is fine. Natata. Mash Atanoten Alpi Beitin Atanoten. Meaning what you've given away, so fine, the first half nothing to do with, but the remainder now you've got to give to the children of this the Aris. So I just want to finish this case because it's an interesting story. So Maudi, now Gemara asks, Maudium benui the Aris the Barisiza. Can the children of the Aris now come back and claim their other half back from the children of Barziza? And they say, look, Bacon just passed me and it should have been mine. So yeah, give it man, give us what you've taken. Yachul, so the children of Barziza can say, these gedolim was said, sorry, what we got was our pimaisa beitin, too late. Okay, it's now mine. However, niflugim, now we've got an interesting story. Because the children of Barziza, the gedolim, got their share, which they can keep. And the Ketanim were meant to get some sort of share, but they're now told they're not allowed to get that share, and it's gone to the children of the Aris. What can the Ketanim come to the Gedolim and say, well, now split with us what you've taken? So the first understanding is he can say to him, Matsya, you know what? We weren't really meant to get this. We hit the jackpot, it's a Matsya, so we get to share and we get our share and literal to you. However, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, no. Late bein revayla dika ela kamishni tanaim b'matana. Absolutely not. He says there's no difference between a revayla and a dika, meaning the older children, the younger children, because it means b'matana. So I'll just show you here. The Marafuda says ein chilupin and the difference. Ela kadam nishlo ten la matana bichlal. It's like someone who gave a gift to the children. The gift wasn't to individuals. It was a gift to, in plural, like the kvutza, the children. But Srichin he has to therefore they have to divide it according to what Rabbi Yitzhak is saying. Shereihachi pasak leam Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi the first psak on which they relying to keep what they took was what did he say? The Amar Yeteun lebenuye de Barziza. His psak was give it to all of them. Okay, meaning they have a right to all of them. The kulam mashma the ilu haya galui lo, had they he known in the future, if you like, Rabbi Chia wouldn't have let the Gedanim get anything, but the intention would be divide whatever they took. Imaktanim. That's what seems to be the appropriate thing to do. So interesting, the conclusion of this story is it sounds like the children of Barziza keep the half that were given up here, Rabbi Shmuel, and now the Gedanim goes to the Gedanim says, well, we got to split with us 50-50. Because that was the instruction of Rabbi Shmuel anyway, but the remaining half that never left the care of the person who was entrusted with it, according to Rabbi Chiya, now says, excuse me, no, you can't draw a conclusion about the wealth of the Aris by how he appeared on the street. Maybe he was very wealthy, maybe he kept his wealth under wraps. So therefore, the Ketanim of the Aris, the children of Ketanim, the children of the Aris, the Yoshim of the Aris of Barziza would get the other half. Okay, so we'll take it from the mission next year.